Top Shelf Fantasy.
All right there, getting close to season start for the NFL. Got your last few fantasy drafts this weekend, next weekend, probably the week leading up to the Thursday night game. I know we have probably a draft every day until Thursday that week. But podcast 299, August 23rd, 2024. This podcast, we will be talking about some news. There's been some injuries, some trades, some suspensions, as well as some cuts. We already seen some cuts. The cut deadline's Tuesday at 4 p.m. So we kind of want to talk about guys that, you know, are maybe fantasy relevant or at least a known name that could be cut. And then our bold predictions for the year. I don't know, Dawes, if you looked at the docket last year for bold predictions. I did not. I remember a few of mine, but we can kind of get into that.
I did not. I can pull it up right now, though. Let's see.
Bold predictions.
It's usually a Kendrick Bourne or Patriots one anyway. So.
Oh, yeah. If I don't have a Kendrick Bourne one, I'll be surprised. Last year, you had Mike Evans keeps his streak alive and has over 1,000 receiving yards. Even better, he catches for 10 or more touchdowns.
Nailed it.
Niners will have two 1,000-yard rushers, CMC and Elijah Mitchell.
Oh, my God. Did I really say that?
Yep. Kendrick Bourne will lead the Patriots in receiving yards. And he probably would have if he didn't get hurt. So we'll count that as like at least a wash, maybe still a win adjacent. And then Marvin Jones will be a wide receiver three or better for the first 6 weeks.
He retired. And then it said, oh, make it Corey Davis. And then he retired.
Damn yeah, it. I mean, mine doesn't look much better. Irv Smith is a top five tight end in fantasy points this season. I don't know if he played any games. Anthony Richardson will rush for 1,000 yards. He got hurt in week like three.
He was on pace.
He's on pace. Yeah, on pace. Like when a guy hits a home run in like the first game of the season, you're like, dude, on pace, 161 home runs. Or as you found, 162 home runs. Kirk and Ridley will both turn in 100 catch seasons. Didn't quite pan out. Kirk missed some games on the stretch. I don't think Ridley hit 100 either, but that was bold, but it could have happened. Kirk had that.
That's probably closer than you think.
That core injury. Like he missed like 6 weeks at the end. But he was on pace probably. And then Geno Smith returns to being Geno Smith. Take the hit on that one.
That's more of a bold prediction like this year. I think that's safer.
Yeah. But...
is that a hit though? Like, did you mean like he's going to be like
he's going to suck again?
No, let's see
where he
finished.
That's
probably what you meant because.
Oh, yeah.
He was being drafted as a top 10, top 12 quarterback. And you're probably saying he comes back down to earth.
Exactly. And he finished QB 19 last year.
Boom.
So
nailed it.
Boom. Nailed it. This year, he will be. Maybe I'll toss one out there for him. He'll be a top 12 quarterback again this year.
Yep. Everyone's can be a top 12 quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, you need a couple good games, really.
Yeah. All right. Of course, topshelffantasy.com. We do have all the player picks up there finally. Rankings up there. We'll get those adjusted for the final weekend next week for you guys. And then X, Instagram, Facebook at Topshelf, FNTSY. And our listener league, there's three spots left. You can go on our Twitter or Instagram. There's a post there with the prizes, which is a signed Kyren Williams jersey, as well as a signed Nico Collins jersey. So if you want two free jerseys from signed players that have hit great in fantasy last season and are, you know, should be good this year, just leave a comment and you win.
All you gotta do, comment, like sign up on the website.
It's not a too good to be true thing at all. It's just comment, say, hey.
Right.
I mean, I have people that say, LFG, you know, let's effing go. Boom. Right. I'll send you a invite. So three spots left. We want to fill those before probably mid next week. So try and get in there. Even if you're someone local here, we kind of like to spread it around to Houston guys and Los Angeles guys, but we're kind of stressed for some time now. So get in there. There's some great prizes. So you will not be dissatisfied, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. All right, you can get into the news, Dawes. I'll stop talking.
Yeah, well, I guess to start off with what you could call the biggest piece of news from the last couple of days, Jahan Dotson is traded away from the Washington Commanders to the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, definitely a crowded wide receiver room over in Washington. Makes sense for the Commanders to try to get something out of a guy they might see towards the bottom of their depth chart. Just kind of a weird move for the Eagles to be the buyers on them, considering that they have a crowded wide receiver room of their own. But Washington sends Dotson in a fifth round pick for two. Sorry, for a 2025 third round pick and 2 7ths. So decent return for Washington. I mean, really, the values there allows them to kind of see what they have this year, make some moves in the future in the 2025 draft. I'm a little surprised. I know we talked about this a little bit before, but I thought Dotson was a fine receiver. Was he going to be your number one? No, it was always going to be Terry McLaurin. It seemed like the competition was for spot two between him and Luke McCaffrey. And even if Luke McCaffrey edges him out for the two spot, it's like Dotson can play the slot. He's fine. He's serviceable. But they're choosing to roll with Olamide Zaccheaus and whoever the other guy is there.
Deami Brown's still there,
Oh,
so
yeah. Deami Brown. That's the weird one. Like, he's done absolutely nothing in the league. So, but
but
you don't know the ins and outs of it, right? None of us do. It could be that Dotson's a vocal kind of cancer in the locker room. I don't know that for a fact. So I don't want to. Levy that accusation on him, but that could be it. We never hear the full scope of what goes on behind closed doors.
yeah, I mean he had a great rookie year for the I think he played only 11 games, but in those games I think it was like 700
And he
yards,
had some
I
electric
think.
catches.
Oh yeah, but year two was disaster of a year. Like he played the full year and didn't come close to what he had in 11 games his rookie season.
Yeah, and it's easy to
And
blame the quarterback play or the offensive scheme and whatever it might be. Tough division, I guess, even, but.
got to think like Sam Howell was like leading the league in passing yards, and it was going everywhere else but to Dotson. So he wasn't even part of that 8 week window where he was slinging it. So
Right.
I know he had a bad camp, but yeah, I mean, you said it best. Like, it doesn't look like they really thought he is a good player, especially when you trade him in division. I think that kind of says a lot too. Like, hey, we don't really care. Like, if
Right.
you thought like, oh, like we want to trade him, but like we can't play him twice a year, they don't give a shit.
Yeah,
So like, but
exactly.
and
That's a great point.
they got a third back. Like, I know we always talk about Ayuk might go there. That's still a third you can get. You can toss into a package too to get the guy. So
That was one,
this.
I think, okay, was it Tom who said it? I think maybe, like, if it is for IU, like, this is such a clear win. Like, the picture becomes so obviously clear to me. I go, okay, yeah, now you have IU and McLaurin and McCaffrey plays a slot and everybody's happy. Like, beautiful, great deal.
Picture perfect.
So if the Niners are like, hey, we need a third round pick in whatever package they're negotiating and that's the difference maker, yep, you trade Dotson. Don't even think twice about it. So if that all comes to a head, great, great job all around. But if it not, then you really just took away a weapon for your rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels, who, assuming he could have figured out something to do with, even if he's just running routes and distracting people.
Yeah, I mean, you think there's some kind of plan with it. But again, like if he's a locker room guy and it's just wasn't working out there, then that's a different story.
100%. Speaking of a terrible locker room guy, Zay Jones is suspended for 5 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy, which was all they were reporting everywhere. It took me forever to dig and find the actual story. So his suspension and the violation of the conduct policy is relative to his November 13th arrest for misdemeanor domestic battery of the mother of his children. Apparently she ended up with a neck injury. She would later, or maybe the police or whoever was in charge of filing the charges, they withdrew them and dropped the charges back in March. But the NFL still went forward and said he violated our personal conduct policy and gave him 5 games. So, personally, I hope this is a step of the NFL in the right direction, and we're actually going to finally crack down on some of this scumbag shit that we see on a yearly basis. Give these guys more games. Give them 8 games for stuff like this. But five's a good step. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys walk on two. We've seen a lot of guys walk with nothing. As soon as the
Tyreek Hill.
charges are dropped, and nothing ever comes of it. So. I'm hoping it's maybe something in the CBA, maybe it's just the NFL taking a stand of their own, but whatever it might be, if they're going to say you violated our conduct policy, I don't care what the charges say, we're going to give you 5 games. I'd be more concerned as a Rashee Rice owner.
I'm so happy you said that. Tossing Jordan Addison too,
Yes,
and yeah,
because he's a
and
second offense Jordan Addison guy
right.
too.
So you got Rice and Addison. And you'd think these charges will be dropped, a lot of hush hush money, let it go away. Yeah, because I mean, we've seen things in the past with like people like, you know, Tyreek Hill, and then, you know, the mother of his son dropped the charges. Oh, it's fine because it's, you know, it was dropped, it was figured out.
Right.
But now it's like, I don't care if it's dropped. Like, it's always going to be dropped, I think. Right. You know, right.
Even the Alvin Kamara thing, I believe those charges were dropped, and we had him on video doing it.
Yep. So
Devontae Adams shoved that cameraman to the ground, and we had that on 400 cameras, and we all laughed it off and moved on with our lives.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's pervasive in the NFL. I mean, a lot of times, I think I can't remember who said it. It was some comedian. He was just like, all I see is NFL player does football at the wrong time every time I see these stories. And it's like, true. It's like, we actually ask these guys to be killing machines, and then they go and kill somebody at the wrong time, and we're all surprised. But you got to crack down on it. I mean, we can sit here and say, like, Jordan Addison and Rashee Rice, like, nobody got hurt. They had, you know, they're in their cars. DUIs are different than domestic violence. But at the same time, people are at risk. The lives are in danger. There needs to be some sort of stronger sense of responsibility for all these people. So 5 games, I think, step in the right direction. And again, I would root for more. And that's me as a Zay Jones owner. I actually need him to play some fucking games this year for one of my teams to do anything. But fantasy football and everything takes a backseat to, you know, letting people get away with this kind of shit.
Yep. It's a good thing for the NFL to do this.
Yeah.
All right. Some starting quarterback news. Got Bo Nix in Denver, named the starter. I think that's the right thing to do. I think we all kind of said it could have been him or Stidham, not Zach Wilson by any means.
Yeah, I thought Wilson would put up a bigger fight, but it makes sense, especially given that Bo Nix is going to be playing in his age 32 rookie season. Like, you got to get that guy out there. He's already on the probably the same age length as some 4 or 5 year pros. So he's got to hopefully step in, play like the Bo Nix that they think that they drafted. He's got the weapons around him, so it'll be interesting to see what he can do.
Yep. Brock Bowers missing some time with a sore foot.
Yeah, he missed a game and a practice this week, so concerning.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, oh, it's off season, it's fine, but, I mean, we're getting very, very close to kickoff. So injuries that happen now, compared to, you know, early August, that were like, oh, it's fine. Like, they have, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. Now it's like they have a week and a half. They have 2 weeks maybe, depending when they play.
And these guys that have these injuries pop up now are the prime IR to start the season, 4 weeks on the bench candidates. And teams that want to take it cautious with their rookies are the ones that will, you know, kind of be the scariest ones to deal with. And I mean, you take the Raiders one step further. They have Michael Meyer, they drafted last year, sitting in the wings. He can play tight end. So
he's a very good tight end.
Like, he's a very good tight end. I mean, they were planning on a 2 tight end attack and yada, yada, yada. But you put that on hold to make sure Bowers is right. Now, all that being said, if he's got a sore foot because somebody stepped on his foot and he has no structural damage, he's got a sore foot. Yeah, you don't rush him into playing preseason. You let him heal up and he's 100% for week one.
Yep.
If we hear something further and he's got plantar fasciitis like Justin Herbert, it plays a much different position than Justin Herbert. You know, he's got to block end linemen. He's got to block, you know, guys running at full speed. He's got to run routes and make cuts and turns. So I get more concerned about skill position, plantar fasciitis, than I do quarterback.
Right. And Herbert's happened, you know,
well, a long time
ago. Late July. So it's like, all right, that's a time to do it anyways. Yep.
Yeah. Take those notes, kids. Get hurt at the right time.
I want to take the next three, and I'll
take
the last two.
Ricky Pearsall is still dealing with his shoulder injury. He's not going to see any preseason action. That's news coming out of the Niners camp. So they're either satisfied with what they think he can do or just aren't going to rush him into playing. But whatever the case may be, he's not going to be on the right page with Brock Purdy to start the season. That's just what happens when you miss this much time. Jahmyr Gibbs was expected back at practice. That was an old piece of news. That was 3 days ago. He was, in fact, back at practice. So Jahmyr Gibbs is trending in the right direction to be ready for week one, which is what all fantasy owners want to hear. And then Ocho Cinco of famed Bengals fame says that in his belief, Ja'Marr Chase will not play without a new contract. And he did go on to say, I have not spoken with Ja'Marr Chase. It's just what I believe to be true. So I don't know if he said something that he had privileged information about and then let it slip and tried to cover his tracks, or if he truly was just talking out of his ass the entire time for attention on his podcast. Either one's equally likely, but it's interesting. If Ja'Marr Chase does sit, T. Higgins' season is in full effect. Like, you start him happily and you hope to God that he's ready to play.
Yeah, and I don't... With this news, I'm not dropping Chase in, like, drafts. Like, if he's there, when he's there, I take him. But I do think they do give him a contract before this, because the reason they didn't, you know, sign Higgins to an extension is mainly because they have to pay Chase. That's the biggest reason why. So if you did that, then, you know, put your money where your mouth is. You got to pay the guy $35 million a year to match Jefferson. Like, that's what it is now. Like,
yep. And he's already on record saying, I want to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league.
Yeah, 35.1.
Or he believes he's earned it. And he probably has.
Two more million guaranteed or something like right. that. It's something. Just, which is so sad now. It's like, if he was like a Tom Brady, he'd be like, all right, you know, I'll take 30 and you can figure something out with Higgins. Right. But you know,
you'd think these like guys would want to win. Like, they don't care about winning. They care about getting
especially
paid.
Especially the Bengals too. Is like, you could be in this for the long haul. Right. You get a contract like this. I mean, look at Josh Allen's contract with the Bills. They had to cut everyone and
everyone. It's almost
scary.
It's scary. It's kind of sad. You know, the greed is just so prevalent. But flip side, these guys go out there and they risk their lives. They want to set their families up forever, and I get it. So, you know, would I do anything differently? It's hard to say without ever being in that position. I've never had to make such a difficult choice.
I think but, $33 million would still set me up for you know, life. And
there's
kids,
not
so.
There's not a lot that I couldn't buy with $28 million that I can buy with 35. You know, that $7 million doesn't make a huge difference to me. You know,
well, yeah.
But that's me as a logical,
right, but that,
rational consumer who will never have that kind of money.
That's someone coming to you and saying, "Hey, I'll give you $20 million." Just to play in the NFL, and that's it, until you can't. Sign me up.
Right
so,
now.
So I walk away with $20 million and the best health care in the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you said, right. $20 million? Joke's on you, buddy. I would have done it for free.
Free, serious? I know. That's just crazy. Yeah, it's 33 a year. And then it's like all these guarantees. Like, oh, well, they're at least guaranteed $86 million. I'm like, $86 million guaranteed.
$86 million. $86 million that hits your account tomorrow.
Just sit your ass down and be fine forever.
I think I was saying that at the Twan draft. I was like, oh, you said $86 million guaranteed? Great. I'm done. I quit. Caleb Williams, I'm not playing any football. I'm out. Thanks. 22.5 million? Yeah, I'm good. I'm out.
We call that the Chandler Parsons, the NBA guy. Got his contract and legit just quit. Like,
yeah, I'm out. Done.
Dick. All right. Last few news. Jalen Warren missed multiple weeks with a hammy injury. This happened, I believe it was last Saturday. I drafted him. The news came
right
out an hour later.
right after. Yeah. Huge for Najee owners.
Yeah. I mean, if you had any worry, like, I think they could still, you know, they will split the field and, you know, they do two different things. So did it say when he's back? Like, is it multiple weeks? Like, he just got hurt. So maybe, you know, week one and two, he could miss in season, because it's, I mean, he still got 3 weeks when he got hurt. So he starts the
very unsure on the timeline. I know it depends on the grade of the hamstring injury, right? So if you're at like a grade 3 hamstring injury, it's going to be like Justin Jefferson last year. You could miss 6 to 8 weeks plus. I don't know. It could be as little as 4 weeks, maybe, if we're lucky. I don't know the details, and we haven't really gotten an official injury report because we're not in season yet.
Yep. I'm sure they don't have to tell you, right?
Yeah, they don't have to tell anything. We're lucky that we know that it's a hamstring.
Yeah.
That's also good news if you're a Cordarrelle Patterson truther. Maybe he gets a little bit of run for a couple weeks. I don't even know who else is there. Well, Michael P. Ryan, I believe.
Yeah.
Gross.
All right, we're in our best ball draft right now, and our buddy Tom's up, and it looks like Commissioner forced a pick for Tom. and then remove the pick right away. Like, Dickie, just leave it alone. He's got 10 more hours to pick.
Yeah, I also believe Thomas is going away this weekend, so he's not making a pick.
Yeah. Whatever. If you do a slow draft, don't complain when it takes over an hour for a pick. So
right, exactly.
That's what I can tell you guys. In awesome news, Gardner Minshew officially is the Raiders' starting quarterback. I know we said, you know, that's for sure going to happen, but I think it was closer than we thought during the offseason. But for Raiders fans and like Davante Adams and everything like that, like, this guy's fun. Like, he's not going to care. I don't think the Raiders think they're going to be great. If they are, they're, you know, wild card team. But I mean, we've seen Minshew put up great fantasy games. Not saying like he's the greatest quarterback to take you to, you know, the championship, but at least it's going to be fun. It's better than Jimmy G last year.
Yeah,
so I'm all on board.
Did you watch any of the receiver show on Netflix?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So I mean, Davante Adams hated Jimmy G. I finally just started watching him, like 5-6 episodes in at this point, but like he's got to be welcoming a change. Aiden O'Connell wasn't really the solution there. He looked all right. I mean, he was serviceable last year, but
well, the thing is, he's better than Jimmy G. So it's like,
oh yeah, right, yeah.
You can't say it's like, oh, he's yeah. So
yeah, but the one thing Davante Adams wants is the ball. Gardner Minshew is not shy about throwing his number one receiver the ball. It never has been, never will be. He's going to sling the ball around. But on top of all that, he is actually good enough at quarterback that defenses can't stack the box. And you saw in Indy last year, even with JT down, Zach Moss was fantastic. So if I'm a Zamir White owner, I'm thrilled that Gardner Minshew is the quarterback. I think you're looking at the entire offense seeing a bump with this being the news being official. I think we all kind of saw it coming down the pipe anyways. But
yeah,
I think just having it on paper and legitimize, you're feeling vindicated.
Yeah, and like this goes back to a guy like, you know, Jacoby Brissett, who is like, these guys have been journeymen and in so many offensive schemes. So it's like they can go into an offense and pick it up pretty quickly.
Oh yeah.
So it's like he gets there day one. Oh yeah, I played this, you know, 3 years ago. Good. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Half the time it's like, oh, we call it this instead of this, but it's the same route concept. And they're like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Like that's a 1 second change.
Oh, and I have Davante Adams. Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
That's not
what guy is Devontae. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. I'll just look for 17. Throw it to him.
Yep. All right. We're done with the news there. We're going to get into some cut candidates, guys that we believe could be cut. Some might be bold, and then we'll kind of go into some teams that, you know, have a lot of guys, and we kind of piece together the depth chart, you know, the Patriots wide receivers or any other team that we think needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
All right. I will go with mine. So we picked a quarterback, RB, wide receiver, tight end each. My quarterback, Zach Wilson, for the Broncos. My quote is because he just sucks. Was traded for, I think, a seventh rounder or a sixth and a seventh swap or whatever. Again, we said Bo Nix beat out Stidham, and they're talking about, you know, they can cut P. Ryan. Javonte was out there to be cut. I don't think that's going to happen at all anymore. But why not keep those guys and cut Zach Wilson instead? Don't carry three quarterbacks, especially the third being Zach Wilson. Like, get Tannehill here instead. Like, it makes no sense. So I think Zach Wilson does get cut, and I don't think he lands anywhere too fast.
Yeah, he's probably a guy who hangs out on free agency until somebody needs a quarterback or a couple go down even. Honestly, if somebody gets hurt in the Jets organization, like, they can pick him up and he knows the system. Not
that, I don't know if he's going back there.
But yeah. But yeah, no, I love the pick. I think there's no reason for you to carry three quarterbacks when they're three comparable guys. Keep the skill position guys that get hurt all the time, and you'll need backups for.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to do? Yeah, I'll do my quarterback.
Yep.
I've got a pretty similar situation. Bailey Zappe in New England. I think Milton has outplayed him in preseason. I think Zappe is more of a distraction than he is anything else at this point. And I really think if something were to happen to Brissett and or Drake May that Milton is more ready to play than Bailey Zappe is. So I think those are the guys that you'll see kept. I also think what Milton brings with his legs is just a different animal than what Zappe can do. So that gives him a little bit of a leg up if you want to run some sort of gimmicky packages.
With a bad line too. So you need that kind of speed guy.
Yep. So Bailey Zappe is just kind of the odd man out. Now, I do have a note in here. I don't know that he's going to get flat out cut because I think he's good enough to be traded for a sixth or seventh round pick. If Zach Wilson is, he surely is. But if they can't by Tuesday, which I don't know if they have any deals going on, I don't know that teams are even QB needy at this point. They might just end up flat out cutting the guy.
Yep. I mean,
he could be practice squad on a lot of teams, I bet.
We said you can't keep three guys.
Yeah.
The Broncos. You can't keep four quarterbacks.
Definitely can't keep four. That would be unprecedented.
And Joe Milton will just be a practice squad guy anyways, which is fine now. His rookie year. Be called up any second he wants. My running back cut candidate, not sure it actually does happen, but Khalil Herbert, Chicago RB. They did sign DeAndre Swift right at the gate this summer. So I believe he's a clear RB1. He can do pretty much anything on that team in that backfield compared to the other guys. Roshan Johnson, I do think they believe in him. You know, he's a bigger body, thick kind of guy. Worked great in the goal line early downs, which kind of leaves Herbert as just kind of the odd man out. Like, they have Travis Homer there who will still be there. He's going to make the team for special teams, and they have the they'll address a fullback. Is it, what's his name? I can't,
Kari Blasingame.
Blasingame. Yeah. So he will be on the team as a fullback. So that's four right there.
They also have Velus Jones, who they converted from wide receiver to running back on Hard Knocks. And then the other dude who's like a medical doctor from Howard and decided to play football and said, I can't think of his name right now, but you got all these guys on Hard Knocks, like getting reps at running back. And I was like, do you guys realize that you already have a loaded running back room? Like, you're all getting cut. At least Velus Jones says he wants to play special teams. Like, that'll help.
And I don't think Herbert's a bad player at all. I actually like him a lot. I think he's just been put in a bad situation each year.
Yeah.
But
he's a guy who should latch on.
Yeah, like, we're talking about these RBs that could be cut. Dallas is probably the team that, you know, gets these guys. So if
Khalil Herbert gets cut and goes to Dallas, I'll pick that. I will pick him up in any format where he's available.
Yep.
And I'll be thrilled. I will drop like a good player to pick him up.
Yeah. I mean, I think out of all these cuts that are going to happen on Tuesday, one of these guys are going to Dallas. They have
Dallas.
To have
Dallas is waiting. I get like, where's our running back?
Yeah. I get Dave Zeke, but he's a year older. He looked fine last year, but I mean, he's on a cheap deal. Like, Rico Dowdle, I don't think is the answer to a team that is playoff bound if they just have a legit back on the team. So, all right, you can take your guy.
Yeah, my running back is Isaiah Spiller. I think he's in like not a no brainer cut, but compared to the top two guys, Gus Edwards and let's say J.K. Dobbins, if he's able to actually play football, those are your top two from day one, from week one, whatever, as long as they're healthy and can play. Those are by far your best talents. Behind them, I think you have Kamani Vidal, who I think is very, very good. I think a lot of people see the value that he can add. And on top of that, they have Jarrett Patterson, the former Commanders running back, who has looked really, really good, but has also contributed on special teams, can catch the ball out of the backfield really well. And I really just think he's like an absolute grinder, and he manages to get reps everywhere he goes because of that. Isaiah Spiller, drafted by the old regime, hasn't really done anything in the NFL, probably not a Harbaugh guy. I don't see a world where he stays on this team.
Yeah, and like you said with Patterson, you said special teams. Like,
yeah,
these backs need to play special teams, and Spiller's not a special team guy. Like,
right, never has been.
Not going to say, oh, you're the odd man out. Go there, return kicks, or block. It's like, no, you're going to go to Patterson, who's done that his whole, 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, it's been a while. Like, if Spiller was going to latch onto the special teamer, we'd be hearing reports already that he was doing special teams.
Taking kicks or something like, yeah, exactly.
We've heard about Antonio Gibson for 8 straight years. Like, it's, you know, we would know about it at this point. There's too much news to not know.
All right, my wide receiver is Allen Robinson. Kind of forgot he did sign with the Giants this offseason. Haven't heard a word about him. I don't know if you have, like,
no,
at all.
Nothing.
And
I forgot he was on the team as well.
We're
I thought
talking
he retired.
About besides neighbors and I guess just Hawson Wandel Robinson, maybe Hyatt, but like we haven't heard anything. And this is a weak receiving core. You would think like someone steps up or like, oh no, Robinson looks like his old self. Like, no reports
oh,
about
yeah.
it at all. So
this is the time of year where you hear he's in the best shape of his life.
I mean, we heard last year with Pittsburgh. Okay, I guess I'll draft him. Like he did nothing, but at least we heard it that he's going to make, you know, you hear that. That means he's probably got a spot on the team. I just don't think he makes the team. I don't think it's worth it for the Giants to keep him, especially for him. Like if he's going to latch on and not play it down for a team, go somewhere where you can win. Like there's no point for him to be in the Giants other than just getting a cheap deal to get to be cut in 2 months.
Exactly. Get a little more money in the pocket and go on your way.
Mm-hmm.
My wide receiver is Noah Brown from the Texans. Just a guy, first of all, this is my first one that's strictly based on cap. He's making $2.6 million this year. So they save a good amount if they cut him. There's not a lot of dead cap out there. I think it's like maybe $500,000 dead cap. So they'll save a good chunk of money to cut the guy. On top of that, we've already talked about Nico, Steph Diggs, and Tank Dell as the top three. But behind them, you have Robert Woods and John Mechie, who was a pretty high draft pick, pretty good college player, and then got, was it leukemia? And then battled back. He's back. He's ready to play. So, and he actually looked really good in his last preseason outing. So if he continues to show out in preseason and Robert Woods is there as the wily old veteran, I think Noah Brown's just the odd man out. And when with that slightly elevated salary for a guy that's going to contribute next to nothing, I think he's the easy cut candidate. And to be fair to Noah Brown, he can latch on a lot of places. He's been serviceable with Miami, with Dallas. I think he can be serviceable other places. Maybe like the Chargers would be a solid spot for him to land, a place where he might be able to see reps somewhat, you know, regularly.
I mean, Commanders now.
Commanders,
I mean, that could be. I mean, and Brown crushed it last year when Dell was out for a few games. Like he had those pup for like 20 plus point games.
Yep. And he's always done that.
Yeah. But
like, who is it? Michael Gallup goes down. Boom. Noah Brown slot right in.
Yep. So, yeah. And if it's not him, I think it's Robert Woods. Like it's one of those two, where I think Brown makes more sense.
Yeah. And I think Mechie's almost a lock to make the roster. You don't need the bad PR from cutting a cancer guy.
No, exactly. Before I go, I'm going to make sure this guy is actually on this team and not already cut.
Yeah, he should be. He should be. I'm still holding him in a couple leagues.
You should just cut him. All right. Well, he's impressing at camp 23 days ago.
Let's go.
Irv Smith Jr., the tight end for the Chiefs. It's funny because he's done nothing for years, and I think Top Shelf's kind of told you to not draft him. Don't trust this. Like him and Cincy. Oh, Joe Burrow's going to be sick. Nope. They passed every tight end besides him. So
talk about like a guy who has had more opportunity. At every stop he's had, Minnesota, Cincy, KC, John.
Yeah, especially in Minnesota. Hawk goes down or something like that. Like he was a league winner 4 years ago in that final because I played against him, those two touchdowns and it killed me. But yeah, I mean they have no gray there. They drafted that wily tight end there. Like I don't think they're gonna hold on to Smith and just keep the guys that have been there and done fine with Mahomes the last 3 years. So Irv Smith just doesn't belong there at all. And I need to find this quote I said like 4 years ago. He's just going to be OJ Howard. And that's exactly what he is.
That's all, like, it's almost an insult to OJ Howard because he's been a little, Howard
is
a little bit better than that.
But just a guy on paper. I mean, OJ Power was, you know, very highly drafted pick and injuries happen too for him. But yeah, a guy that you always just kind of want to, I'll take the guy because I know the name. He's a freak athlete. Sometimes in the NFL, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, 100%. My tight end is Albert O
from the Eagles, if you don't remember where he was, because it's been a while since we've seen him. Albert Okwegibunam is currently buried behind Dallas Goedert and Grant Calcaterra on the depth chart. I think they actually drafted a rookie there too. I don't remember his name, but I just think you look at what happened last season. He's a healthy scratch in a bunch of games to close out the year, maybe like 8 straight games or something like that. I think there might have been one where he was active in between, and then he saw 0 snaps. So he was active but didn't do anything. So at this point, it's just like cut the cord, get rid of the guy, let him try to latch on somewhere else. Maybe he can, maybe he can't, but he certainly has no value in Philly. Like, you're done with him. If you're done with him, get rid of him. You're not using him. Unless you're really just holding him so somebody else can't have him and it's a pure spite move, which if that's the case, that's hilarious and I respect it. But I don't think that NFL teams do that.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, the joke's on you.
Yeah, exactly. You're rostering this guy and you're paying him. So, I mean, it's kind of sad. He was like a big hyped guy. We thought he was going to be nasty and then just never
he was
did
like
anything.
Top 6 pick 2 years ago.
Yep.
But I mean, for a tight end position, you do have to chase those points that you saw, you know, the season prior, I guess.
All you can do, man.
And I guess they did just get Dotson too, so that's an easier cut there on the offense. All right. Getting to our bold predictions for the year. Dallas went over them from last year at the start of the pod. So I will do my first one. I'll skip my first one for last because it's just better to
your
do
favorite
that way. Yeah. All Houston wide receivers, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, go for over 1,000 receiving yards. I think this is one of those things a bold prediction I've done a lot of times, just kind of chasing that because we haven't seen it in a long time, but my God, they play one more game. It's a pass heavy league. It's got to happen again soon. Like it should be happening a lot more than we think, but it hasn't happened in years. So, I don't know. I think we go back and say last time it was probably, was it the Broncos with
Was that
DT,
what we said? Yeah.
Decker and Julius Thomas.
Yeah. And I mean, to your point with the one extra game, it's only 59 yards a game to make it to 1,000 yards on the season.
Dude,
like
we saw Kurt Warner do it with Bolden, Fitzgerald, and Steve Breston. Who's Steve Breston?
Stevie Breston.
Exactly.
Dude.
Exactly. Who's Steve Breston? He did it with that. If yeah. Kurt Warner, I mean, that Kurt Warner year was unreal, but yeah, I mean, it can happen. They all got to stay healthy, which I think is hard to do.
I wonder if Kurt Warner did it with any of those Rams teams, the greatest show on turf, like Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, and Marshall Faulk or something.
Yeah, I think we got to look it up. I don't know why I didn't look this up beforehand.
Right.
Damn it.
It would be great to see, though. We're hunting down the story.
Like I did it like years ago, and oh, the Rams, Cup, Woods, Brandon Cooks, like that made sense.
Yeah. Yep.
So yep. That's my first one. Dallas, I'm gonna take yours.
Yeah, my first one is Kyle Pitts will return to being good at football and finish as a top 5 tight end on the season. I originally had top 8, said, you know, that's not bold enough. I can't do TE1 because that's like one touchdown and then you're in it. So tight end top 5 overall half PPR format on the year, Kyle Pitts. Now, I acknowledge the fact that he has some competition for targets. Drake London is probably going to eat this year, but Kirk Cousins has consistently supported tight ends at every single station that he's been at in his career, whether it's starting off with the Commanders or the Washington, whatever team they were when he joined. He's had Logan Thomas up there. He's had a number of other guys like that I can't remember. And then as soon as he went over to Minnesota, he supported guys nonstop. TJ Hawkinson when he was there. Arbitrary wide receivers that I can't even remember. I don't think he was there with Vasante Shanko, but he's been knocking it out of the ballpark his whole career with tight ends. So I think you take one more stop in in Atlanta, and there's no reason to believe that he can't help buoy Kyle Pitts back into relevancy. And I think the people that take Kyle Pitts this year will be happy with that. Now, I see a lot of people trending the other direction saying Kyle Pitts is going to be a bust this year. And I really think we're both flipping a coin. I don't know if there's an argument that you can make either way that's going to really sway me to be permanently in that camp. I just think my hope and my well wishing for Kyle Pitts' success in this league is leading me to make this my bold prediction. Now, if you said, "Hey, Corey, make a rational prediction," I'd say like Kyle Pitts might be a tight end one if he's lucky. But we got
Yeah.
to be bold. We got to be bold.
Yeah, I mean, he's what, like tight end 7, 8 ADP, right around there. So after those like first two tier breaks,
Yeah.
I got him in our league last year that I do want to talk about at the end of the podcast. But I mean, just drafting the tight ends, like you see these guys go off the board, like everyone you're drafting for the top eight. So yeah,
Yep.
all these guys have potential to easily be, you know, a top three or top five guy, like in a
Right.
world. And we saw Kyle Pitts get 1,000 yards his rookie season and then play with shit quarterbacks. He's got Kirk Cousins. Like, I just think his ceiling is just way too high to not be like, I want this guy this year. And
Right.
I'll be
And
happy
even
to
if,
just sit on it and be like, I fucked up. But like,
right.
it can't be worse than the last 2 years. It just can't. Like, he
Right.
finishes at
And
tight
even
end
if,
seven. All right, that's where you're
right. And
drafting him. Great.
you're not even upset. Like, if he hits his ADP, you're fine with it. And I think one of the other things that helps massively is that if Kirk Cousins does struggle coming back from the Achilles or he gets hurt again or whatever it might be, you have Michael Penix sitting right there. Like, you have a serviceable quarterback waiting in the
A
wings, ready to
top
go.
10 rookie pick
Yeah,
for a
like
reason.
you are not screwed. You were not even you're not the Vikings last year scrambling to find a quarterback that even just knows how to throw the ball. So, I think Kyle Pitts is positioned well this year, and I really hope I hit that one.
All right, my next one is a lot of these 1BRBs will finish ahead of their starters, their 1As. Might sound confusing, but in the NFL these days, you know, we have our starting RBs and then handcuffs, but we also have, you know, a few guys that are, you know, when you're drafting a team like Pittsburgh. You get Najee Harris and Jalen Warren, and they're kind of going close to each other because they're kind of 1A, 1B. They both do different things, and they could be on the field at the same time too. So that's Jalen Warren finishes over Najee Harris. That the hamstring injury does concern me now. That's maybe a week or two he doesn't get points, which is huge. Chase Brown finishes over Zach Moss, and Jameer McLaughlin finishes over Javonte Williams.
How about Devon Achane over Raheem Mostert?
I can't do that because Ashawn's like a first round pick or a
Yeah.
top eight
I'm just saying,
guy.
I'm gonna take the depth chart. We'll do 1A,
Or
1B that way. Yeah.
yeah, I mean you could say Mostert over him, yeah.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah, no, I mean I also like Mostert how late he's
Yeah.
going to.
I
So
love
I
his
mean
value.
that's a good one too. You know, toss him in there.
Yeah.
Mostert over Devon Achane. And I'm not doing the Detroit backfield because those guys can be started on the same team every single week.
And they will be. Like, you're gonna be like, how do they both have 70% snap shares? It's like, right. Exactly.
Yep. So yeah, that's my bold prediction is those 4 1Bs to the 1As finish
I
above
like
the
that.
1As.
All right. I like that one a lot. I've got for my second one. Justin Fields not only takes over for Russ Wilson, and I still think he might end up being the starter before the season starts. I'm not sure if we have clarity on that yet, but either way, at some point he becomes a starter and he'll finish as a top 12 quarterback on the season. I have no reasoning. I think Justin Fields is good at quarterback. That's my whole point. I think he
Yeah,
got
I
a
mean,
raw deal in Chicago. I think he's got some more support with a player-friendly coach like Mike Tomlin. And when he takes over for Russ Wilson, because Russ Wilson is a hack now, Justin Fields is going to eat. So, and he's got the benefit of using his
yeah,
legs.
and it's a guy that can run. And we saw Arthur Smith wanted, God, what's the guy?
Jaden Daniels.
Ritter
Oh, Desmond Ridder. Oh, yeah.
when he was in Atlanta.
Yeah, they thought he was the
Because he
freaking
was, you
man.
know, a running quarterback too, but just couldn't do it. But they finally got a guy that's like Fields who can do it. So, yeah, you know, they're going down to the wire to name a starting quarterback. And I get it. Like, they probably look both fine in a different way. And it's probably gonna be like, all right, how do we want to run this offense day one? Because it's gonna have to change a little bit for each guy.
Right.
My last one, of course, Patriots. I'll try to hit it again. Hunter Henry finishes as a tight end one, which is a top 12, which isn't crazy to do at all. He catches 10 touchdowns. And I believe in this because, you know, we always talk about, is it going to be Pop Douglas? Is it going to be Polk? Is it going to be Javon Baker? When at the end of the day, like, Hunter Henry at the very worst is the second option in the passing game, especially with a rookie quarterback and or a guy like Brissett who has done well with tight ends in his past. So, I mean, Hunter Henry, I think, walks in day one of the Patriots, and he's, I think, easily the best red zone target they have. So, he's not going to be pretty with yards, not going to be pretty with total catches, but if you get 10 touchdowns as a tight end and you're not top 12, then something is went terribly wrong.
Like, or he might have a week that's 3 catches, 2 touchdowns, 6 yards.
30, or I was going to give him 30 yards, but, yeah. But
he's efficient.
So I've hit my Patriot one each year. Oh, and I will go back to that. So you said I hit Bourne, or I would have hit Bourne last year if he didn't get hurt. The year before that, Ronnie Stevenson takes over for Damian Harris, hit that. Year before that, Hunter Henry's a tight end one, and he hit that. So
they ought.
I don't know why I picked the grossest NFL team to do a bold prediction for.
Yeah, could you do that with a team that fucking matters?
Yeah. But I mean, and then he's going to, we saw it last year. The first 2 weeks he was tight end one in the season. Big waiver guy. And then you're like, shit, he's actually that kind of guy. He's going to hit or he's going to get zero. So yep. Play the matchup with Hunter Henry.
100%. And my final one, Anthony Richardson finishes as quarterback number one overall on the season. He puts together a monster campaign. He stays healthy for a full 17, 18 game slate, however you want to say it, and absolutely knocks it out of the ballpark. We saw flashes of it last year. I think he's due for a healthy year. We see with a lot of these running quarterbacks, they get hurt year one, they come back, they're fine year two. Maybe the rest of their careers go haywire from there. Some you know, put it together, they're healthy the rest of the time, Lamar Jackson. Others are perennially injured, he can't stay healthy, Kyler Murray. And then Anthony Richardson, I'm just hoping this is the year that he pops, hits every single stat line, knocks it out of the ballpark. Last year I had him running for 1,000 yards. I think he could do it this year. I think he's also going to throw for about 4,000. He could win if he puts up a 4,000, 1,000 season and throws for like 25 touchdowns, maybe runs like 5 to 10 in, he could be the MVP, like, easily.
Yeah.
So rock and roll. He's obviously going to win some games for that to be the case, but
which they should. And I mean, last year without JT there to start the season, he had to do a lot by himself. And I don't think they had Zach Moss at that point. Did Zach Moss get cut? I think halfway cut through the season,
or traded from the Bills or something.
So I don't know. Oh, it was Deion Jackson. Yeah, so he had to do a lot of work because Deion Jackson was dog shit.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I mean, I have Anthony Richardson shares in so many leagues that I need this to hit, but I think it has a good shot.
Yeah, same. I mean, he's got all the skills in the world to be number one.
Yeah, just because he's healthy.
That's a lot true. Of
that's
guys
true for
too.
Everybody.
Like you said, you know, Kyler is injury. If he plays a full year, he's right there. Could be one. Like there's so many. I think the top 8 guys you can say would not be shocked if there could be one.
Oh yeah. I mean, the number one thing to being QB1 is playing 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 25-point difference if you play and are effective in 17 straight games. Like, it's really that simple. Mm-hmm. If you were to throw for 25 points every single game, you're going to score, 400-plus points. You would be the number one player in fantasy football. Like, don't overcomplicate it. Just do that. It's fucking easy. Yeah.
And that's why... when we do our like end of the year stats, we take it to 16 games.
Oh yeah, for that just garbage not last week,
not count week 18 because half the time these guys are benched and you have, you know, these guys like that pop in week 18 because it's almost like a preseason game.
Yeah,
that doesn't count.
Yeah, Najee Harris inflating his stats with like a 33-point game in week 18. It's like, give me a break, dude. That doesn't count. That doesn't help me.
The Marvin Jones special.
Marvin Jones
That was
loved that move.
always
He might have
happened.
invented it.
Week 18, because he just hit his incentives that week
True.
to get in the ball. But yeah, to end it, we just had our home league draft last weekend. We go away camping for 2 nights, 3 days. Dows, this is your first year doing it.
Yeah.
This is our 20th year total doing this league. So it was a big mark there. We had, you know, Dows being new as a co-manager with Derek, who's on the show a lot. What'd you think of it? Just
yeah, I mean, I liked
bunch
it.
Of crazy animals.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully I know all you guys, so it wasn't like a shock to my system, but definitely a blast. Like, so I'm not a big camper outdoorsy guy. I mean, thankfully Tom brought the camper, so I like slept inside like a normal person, which
the small house.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
like
nice.
That was definitely much welcomed. But as far as like the league itself, I don't know if you usually do it that early on Saturday morning. I don't feel like you do, but I know Chibs had a conflict, so I actually kind of love that. Like, if I
That's
could
awesome.
knock out more drafts at 10:30 in the morning, like I'm all for it. We had the whole day afterwards to sit, relax, do a million different things, like play games. There's no stress. There's no draft hanging over you all day. You don't have to worry about being blacked out by the first pick. You know what I mean? Like, I was sober through the whole draft. It was fantastic. That's why our team's all right.
Yeah,
You
exactly.
wouldn't know
And
that by our draft board, considering Derek kept putting the stickers upside
yeah,
down.
is that guy wasted? No, he started at 10:20. No.
Yeah.
No, we've always want to start that early, but years prior we always had a one person that never really came until the draft started.
Yeah.
And the draft started whenever he wanted to come. He's out of the league now. That's why Dow's and Derek are in the league. So when everyone's there, it's like, yeah, 10:30, like we're up. Like you might be, you know, hurting, hungover from the night before, but like we're all up and at, you know. So like might
night
as well.
one, we were in bed early too. I mean, like 1 o'clock, whatever. Like,
yeah, I think it
got
was
a
about like
good 8 hours, 9 hours, and then
right.
Woke up. You already had breakfast sangos ready to go. I was like, they're delightful. Gave me the fuel I needed. Derek ran and got 15 breakfast sandwiches from Dunkin' Donuts for some reason.
Yeah,
They're great too. Later in the day.
But starting that early was great because it's like you get daylight. Like a few people went to the beach, softball. Or, I mean,
some people were left behind for the beach. You know, it's like whatever. I'm not upset about it.
But you can do whatever you want. That's the thing. Because we've had drafts where it's like, where we would start at like, you know, one or two, maybe three. And then it's like you get hungry and it's, all right, let's take a break at round eight. Then you're done at seven and you're importing it all when it's getting dark out. And it's like, oh, there goes the day. We can't do anything now.
Exactly.
So that was a lot of fun. We had a. Dows, well, you're the beer bitch, kind of. And I think that was kind of a few times. Did you do it a lot?
So I told everybody that I would do it up through the draft. So day one and then up through the draft on day two. It wasn't bad. I mean, Derek also pitched in. So it's like the thing is that between me and Derek, we're going to the cooler more often than everybody because it's two of us. So if I'm in there and I just say, hey, does anybody need anything? It like doesn't affect me. Like, I don't know. I just like hey, get me one. It's like, yeah, well, I also need one. So like, not a big deal. And that's like four steps away. Also, I just keep wheeling my cooler around with me, which was full of stuff. So pretty easy. I think anybody that whines about that is just a little soft. It's like not a big deal at all.
I mean,
like most of your buddies will do it for you. If you see them walking over to a cooler and you go, hey, do you grab me one? Like, yep. Like, no big deal.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's like rude about it. Really.
I
give
think
me a beer. Okay.
We've learned like, as we've gotten older too, it's like, you're there. It's like, does someone need one?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to wait for Dows.
I know one time Straker was like, saw me. Because he told me, he's like, saw me walk over, grab one, waited for me to walk all the way back, and then was like, can you grab me one? And I was just like, no, like, absolutely not. And he was like, all right, fair.
We used to be diabolical though. Like, we would like, if it was Striker, which he did, you know, so
many
years.
Times.
That's when like we would like bring like a bunch of kayaks and like we would do kayaking more when we just started the draft later. I guess that the cool thing was we went kayak in the morning, did bloodies or, you know, high noons. And we call them like, hey, we're out in the pond. Like we all need some beer. We have to like come out in this kayak or like we had to, or throw it to us from the shore, chucking it at our faces. But so yeah, and then the year that I was beer bitch, I brought my little like mini igloo backpack cooler. So I was tossing varieties of beers in there. I want this. I'm like, oh cool, here it
yeah,
is.
No problem.
Like,
gotcha.
You can do it. It's like I gave you a beer. Like I did a lot of research. I don't want to get up every fucking 2 seconds. So,
yep.
So definitely always have a last placed punishment.
You need it in redraft. Otherwise, people are just going to sell off to then, you know, screw the league.
And that's a very easy one. It's like not like stressful. Like, I can't come in last, but then you kind of don't want to because like the whole weekend, like beer bitch, beer bitch. And Dows wasn't actually in last place. The person that left the league came in last place. Dows and Deke were like, hey, we're new. We'll just do it. We're just kind of
yeah. I think it's an easy way to just say like, hey, thanks for the invite to the league, kind of, and then like we know that we're new, so we'll take our punishment. You know, just be mad about it, and then also we did take the last place thing, so you guys would have been without a beer bitch if we don't do it. So. And like I said, again, I really don't think it's a huge deal, especially with you guys. It's like, hey, would you grab one, please? It's like nobody yelled at me, give me a beer. I'm just playing now. But I know we tossed the idea around. I don't know if we actually did. Maybe this wasn't even this league. Did we toss around the idea of doing the no support for last place next year? Like no sheet, no phone, no laptop, no nothing. Just draft it raw.
That could have been in a different league, but I like that a lot.
Yeah, we talked about doing it in my barber league. I didn't know if we had brought it up here. So I've been talking with my barber for a while about doing it. And we brought it up and it passed in that league quickly and easily. Because we always have these like outrageous punishments and like we never do them. This year we did shoot our buddy with a paintball gun. That went really well.
Oh, you did do it.
Yeah, okay. So I was the champion. So I got two shots, drilled them both right in the back. And then everybody else in the league got one shot. And I'd say we hit them probably with like, I think only one or two kids missed. So pretty good stuff. We let him wear like we're like wear whatever you want. He wore like a like it's like unicorn like get up. So he made it fun. He enjoyed it. And then he's like, yeah, I got some welts, but he's fine. But yeah, so we're just trying to think of something that's like a little bit less like physically violent and like is still funny. So we're thinking like if you have no paperwork, no phone, no computer, you go absolute raw dog on the draft. Like that's a fun one. And it's hard. Like you actually have to do some research, know your players. And we have a
Right
we have a 90-second clock in this league. So if you don't do 90 seconds, you hit a McGillicuddy's nip. So it doesn't get easy for you if you take too long.
I mean, when we were at the Scott Fishbowl draft, we saw a few people like, oh, it's all in my head. I'm like, damn, I can't wait to get there. Like, I feel like I could be fine doing it, but like, I still need that list or that if you're doing it on a sleeper, I still need to know who's left. Like, oh, crap, that guy's there. When you have a list, it's like, I don't know if that guy's
if
there.
If I'm on sleeper, it's no issue. But if I don't have that, and then we're doing live draft as well. So you have to go put the name up on the sheet. Mm-hmm. Like, and you have a 90-second time limit. You're going to be doing some shots, man. Like you're hunting for names and it's not there. I did it three times. I went up in like the third round. I was looking for Saquon Barkley and he was a keeper in the first round. I was like, what am I doing? How did I not cross his name off? I thought I was going to steal.
Yep. You guys are idiots.
Yeah. I'm like Barkley, Barkley B. And my buddy's like, dude, he's already been drafted. And which is also a shot.
Take a shot.
Yeah. So. It's fun. I like that. It's a good league. You should just come to one of those drafts. It's a fucking blast.
Yeah, and Dallas had that draft the day after our camping weekend, so I'm sure he was. That was rough.
Yeah, we do an obstacle course to determine draft positioning, and I was 19 minutes late, so I had a 19 point penalty going in. Still managed to get like third overall pick.
Not bad.
Yeah.
And how many drafts do you have left?
Nothing in person. I have the Flex League, our listener league, one other league with my Nashville buddies, and I think that's it. So three more online leagues in the next week and a half.
Yeah, I have three more. The Vampire, I don't know if we're doing that. No one's really brought it up.
I'm fine letting it go. I think we kind of beat it to a pulp at this point. And
yeah. All right. That will do it. Dows, take the folks out.
Well, as always, Shelfies, we love you guys listening, tuning in, taking all of our opinions under advisement for your fantasy teams. Please reach out to us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anything at Top Shelf FNTSY. We want all your questions as we head towards the season start. please ask us why your start sits. We're going to have those again for you this year. Like always, stay fluid, stay loose.
Top Shelf Fantasy. Stay fluid. Stay loose.